What's up, guys? You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast with Alex Quinn on Revolver Podcast.
I'm an investor and entrepreneur, and throughout this journey, I've worked with and come across some incredible people and experiences that I would like to share with you. On the podcast, my celebrity guests and I will be talking about self-development, entrepreneurship, and overall hustle. If you want to survive this journey, you'll need a strong support system. So we got here as fast as we could. Today on episode 2, we talk to NFL athlete turned entrepreneur, Nolan Carroll.
This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
Nolan Carroll, how did we meet, bro? How is it that we met? Because everything that I bring together in my businesses and within my network, it's the power of building relationships. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I meet people in the craziest ways, but we end up building really good business relationships and helping each other out. And, you know, just today I was recording a podcast with my boy, Jeff Cole from Iconic. And we met during Art Basel week and we hit it off and it was our birthday. We celebrated a birthday together and we had just met each other. So, you know, we met recently. We met a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And we met here in Miami at a party. Let's talk a little bit about how we met, you know, how it is that we use the power of social media to kind of build on, you know, what it is now that we've done together, kind of like a campaign that we're building together. And now it's turned into something a little bit bigger.
Yeah, we met after a party at a pizza shop.
Yeah.
I was right next door. And you just came up to me and you was just like, hey, you know, you look like you're somebody.
Yeah.
I was kind of like just trying to be quiet and be to myself. And I just was actually waiting for my buddy to get a pizza so we could leave. But you came up to me, we started talking, and then you explained to me what you had been doing. And I kind of briefly explained what, you know, I had been doing. But it wasn't until maybe a week or two later where we actually started like texting, and I really saw your Instagram, you saw mine. And that's when we really kind of like dove into really establishing some type of relationship, because you saw what I was doing and it pertained to what I was doing, which was business. And you were in the process of exposing businesses, and
yeah,
you have your own business yourself. So that's the way it worked out. And then just throughout the weeks, you know,
Art Basel, actually, we ran into each other again. I was leaving the Adidas
that's
party
right,
with Pharrell.
It was.
And yeah.
You grabbed my arm. I was just like, man, who is this? Yeah, I was like, who is this? And I turned around. I was like, oh, it's Alex. And then, you know, you reminded me, but I already knew who you were. I just, it's the initial shock of
yeah.
it. But we started talking again. And, you know, you said you had all these different crazy ideas that you wanted to try and do. And I had no idea, because at that time, you know, we talked sparingly here and there, and I saw what you were doing on your Instagram, but I never really pursued anything to kind of like ask you to do anything until we ran into each other. And then once we ran into each other, we just started building a relationship to where you're here now and, you know, exposing Dude to other people and getting one done for yourself as well.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I mean, bro, the biggest part of me building my career right now is, you know, one of the biggest parts is me coming to realize that I need to always reinvent myself and learn a little bit more about myself and the people around me in order to get to the next step. You got to be very open-minded and very humble, which is pretty much going to be the theme of our episode today, is going to be changing and transitioning. How did your career start out? You played for the NFL. How did that come to be, and how did it transition into what it is today?
Yeah, I just think the way things happen is so weird. I don't want to say it's by chance or me being lucky, but, you know, I started playing football later than everybody else. I was a soccer player for the longest. I started playing soccer when I was 5 years old. And, you know, it was just one day where none of my buddies liked soccer as much as me. And, you know, they all went off and started playing football. And, you know, for me, I was like, man, I want to hang out with my boys. So the only way I could really do that was to play football.
Play football with them, yeah.
And, you know, my mom wouldn't let me, though, because she didn't want me getting hurt. It went from playing soccer, which she thought was more safer than football, which is actually not true, but she didn't want me to play and get hurt that way. But there was one day, it was a flag football game and out in PE, and I remember just running around and running by everybody, and one of my PE coaches said, hey, why don't you come out and try out for the football team? And I'm like, oh, my mom's not going to let me do it. But, you know, he forced her, egged her on. He's like, hey, look, your son can get a scholarship to play football in college. That way you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And when he kind of presented that to her, the education aspect of it, she got smarter about it and said, you know what, I'll let him play and see how he does. And, you know, fortunately, I was good enough to get scholarships to go to University of Maryland. I was there for 5 years. And then after that, I got drafted to the Miami Dolphins in 2010, played there for 4 years, then signed with Philadelphia before the 2014 season, played there for 3 years, and I played in Dallas for 1 year. And, you know, I spent 8 years in the NFL, which to me doesn't seem too long, but it's gone by kind of fast, man. It's one of those things where the first day you get in, people are saying, hey, you know, your rookie year is going to go by before you know it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. This long process of me doing it just flies, man. And, you know, here I am 8 years later, and I look back, I'm like, man, they were right.
But you, bro, like, you ended up doing, you remember that movie Like Mike?
Yes.
You ended up doing some Like Mike shit that you thought that you were doing something else, and all of a sudden you're in the NFL, and all this shit is happening. That must have been so exciting for you, bro.
It was, man.
What a dream come true, man.
It was definitely, you know, it was fun. Just different matchups, playing different teams, playing in different arenas, different opponents, going against different teams, historic teams. It's one of those things that when you look back at it, you really appreciate it, because these are things that people worship. You know, these are things people really glorify as far as, you know, football team, and that being their lifeline of the city, their family, their mindset, however they start their week, you know, is dependent on wins and losses in the NFL. But, you know, it was a fun time for me. And then, you know, after that, the business aspect kind of came out of nowhere too. I had a business deal with somebody that ended up becoming my business partner later on. And, you know, initially before, we were just kind of just talking here and there. And then it got to the point where, you know, me and him, we had the same like-mindedness of really trying to change the city and trying to change the way the world kind of thinks and views certain things. And, you know, it just got to the point where we just started meeting constantly, daily, and just throwing out different ideas here and there. And we began opening up certain various different types of businesses. And I think I'm in a good place right now as far as that aspect. But, you know, every part of my life that I kind of see is kind of happen in an unexpected way, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
But I think the things in between have really prepared me for what I do next in life and the next steps and, you know, next years, whatever it is.
You know, it's really cool to see, because obviously you played in the NFL and everybody knows the stories about the NFL guys that, you know, played, did great, and then what are they doing now?
Mm-hmm.
You had a great run.
Mm-hmm.
You're still involved with the organization. You're still doing cool stuff. And you have your businesses running. You have a lot of cool things going on. How was it difficult at first to adjust to that, knowing that, yeah, I'm living in the moment, playing a sport, and this is everything that it is right now, but I do have to make sure that I'm extremely careful in how I secure myself moving forward with all of the endeavors that I have?
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, you hear a lot of stories about how shit could go wrong for a lot of people, but you have your shit together, bro.
Yeah.
And like, you made something of it, and you made it, you have the I'm not gonna say the best case scenario, but bro, you have your shit together.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of people that go, like, for example, myself, I've had several businesses, I've founded several businesses, and sometimes I've gotten carried away.
Mm-hmm.
Or spend a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Or maybe feel like I'm hot shit a little bit.
Yeah.
And you kind of go through it, especially if you grow up with, like, you know, certain struggles. But I think one of the most important parts for people that are listening to this and like taking away from this is that, like, you know, if you're doing really good, you have to understand that life is a roller coaster. Like I was saying,
mm-hmm.
things could go wrong any second, and you can't be getting yourself into a lifestyle that you can't afford,
mm-hmm.
because then you're going to be screwed later on.
Yeah, definitely.
You get me? And you've branched out into so many cool things, man, that I want to talk about. For example, we're sitting right here and we have two action figures in front of us that are called dupes. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about this, how you got involved with this, and why it piqued your interest.
Well, initially, when I was trying to look for something to do, you know, after football and outside of football, my sister was getting married, and she was getting married to her fiance. So I'm trying to look for some type of gift that I can give her, something unique, you know, either during the wedding, whether it's a nice cake, or get her some type of present. And I was thinking, well, why don't I get her a cape topper that looks like her? And for the longest, me and my mom were trying to figure out what's a unique thing that we can do to put on her cake. So we're looking at wedding magazines. We ordered a bunch of wedding magazines, trying to find different things. And we came upon Dupe, and, you know, we saw it, and it had a wedding cake topper of somebody. We were like, yo, this is interesting. How do we do it? So ended up calling the CEO, Mike Anderson, talked to him. And, you know, I asked him, why haven't you guys expanded? This is something that's so cool. Why haven't you branched out? And he said, well, we're actually looking to do that now. We're in a good space where we are established on each coast, being in LA and New York. They were ready to.
I saw their location in New York last year. Yeah. I walked by and I didn't stop though. I saw. I was like, I probably can't afford it. Like, I thought it was probably like $20,000 or some shit.
No. It could be if you want a full life one, but
yeah.
You know, just talking with him and seeing it, I said, you know what? I probably would want to do something like this. So I did my research just to try and see who else is out there that does it. There's a few other companies, but no one is as close to getting it like this as possible. You see how detailed it is, and you see
it's very detailed.
Yeah, very.
It's very detailed. Yeah. This one that you made, I came in what, like 3 weeks ago before I went to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures took what, 2 seconds to take,
if that. Yeah.
And this is, if I'm not wrong, this is handmade, like hand painted.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's a machine that prints it. So if you think
about it. Well, it's so good it looks hand painted.
It does. It does. Everybody that comes in here thinks it's an art gallery, but these images, all those images that we took, those 66 images on the scanner, those are all
the duplicator, right? That's what the machine is called.
Those are all each individually placed digitally to be able to create the figurine. That's why you have to get every single angle. So then after that, the images are uploaded into a printer. The printer just does it layer by layer.
Shades away.
Yeah, well, it does it layer by layer.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So each time it's doing a layer, it's printing the ink inside it. So your shirt's black here, it's just infusing the ink inside. That's how you get it to adhesive and stay. Then it's dipped in a solution, which gives you that shine to bring out the colors. And after that, it's your figure. But it takes about 12 hours to print. But the longest part is the digital piecing, which you got to make sure every single image that we've taken is in line and is proper to give you your due.
Alrighty, hustlers, let's take a quick break. You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast with Alex Quinn on Revolver Podcast.
This is great, man. So look, in addition to Dube and being involved in Dube, having a like, location prime real estate in Miami, you have a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about your foundation and the things you have going on right now with that.
Yeah, the Nolan Carroll Foundation is geared towards underprivileged kids that really don't get a chance to experience the things that I really experienced. I was able to have somebody help me with my SATs, ACTs, somebody I was able to, you know, really mentor me on health and being physical and being active and, mm-hmm. and getting good grades, because that's able to take you to the next level, being able to give you other opportunities to go to college and different things like that. So for me, I'm just trying to basically just give back to different areas, whether it be in Jacksonville, down here, Dallas, Philly, you know, the places that I've played before. And now I have a golf tournament coming up March 1st in my hometown of Jacksonville.
Okay.
And that's really just to raise money for the foundation. And we have a couple kids coming from different small schools, certain schools that we funded their summer school programs to come out and shoot on the first tee. It's a par 3, you know, just to kind of entice those kids and really get them excited, because it's something we're doing for them. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm really trying to support them and give them a different opportunity, a different type of...
Be who you needed when you were younger, or who you could have needed when you were younger, essentially.
Yeah,
you know, things could always be better, mm-hmm. right? But we're very fortunate. I mean, and I speak for myself and for yourself because of the situations that we're in, the businesses mm-hmm. that we're running,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like the influence that we have over to an extent. But there's people, bro, like there's people that have to walk every day 15 miles to go get water and bring it back home.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons through my foundation, the UADB Foundation, we're building aqueducts in South America this year,
mm-hmm.
That is going to bring water to communities that currently don't have water. There's people out there with no water, hundreds, thousands of people. So what we're doing is we're just teaming up with different companies, different people, and ourselves are bringing things to the table to where we could provide these types of solutions for people. You'd be surprised with $10,000, $11,000, you could build an aqueduct for a community.
You could build something crazy. You can basically change a whole country just for
next to nothing. And you know, like it takes a lot to be selfless, because you know, a lot of the times we want nice things and luxuries and travel and stuff, but I think it's a good balance of, you know, receiving and giving and just having good intentions towards people, and that's what's gonna give you that good energy and that good impulse to keep going forward.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, man. How long has the foundation been running?
Well, the foundation has been around for 4 years, and you know what I've done really, which it's kind of changed over the years. Before, I used to kind of just be behind the scenes, just donate here and there, because I didn't really want to be out there and say, hey, I'm
donating. Because you weren't doing it for that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was doing it just, you know, to give back to the kids, but I always tried to be behind the scenes, and everybody's like, you know, you need to be out there and show your face and talk to these kids. And that's when I was like, you know what, let me go ahead and do that and show them and give them some type of encouragement, because there's a lot of kids out here that need that. They need somebody to come to, or they need some type of athlete, whether it's congresswoman, doctor, whatever, to come to school or wherever they are and speak to them about, you know, hard work, dedication, staying on the right path. You know, your situation that you're in is not going to stay the same way. You got to have the right mindset to be able to get out of that. A lot of kids don't have it, and you'd be surprised.
They feel like they're stuck.
Yeah.
That's one of the points we touch on my film called Take a Ride,
mm-hmm.
that we're preparing right now for big platforms like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. And it's, you know, here in Miami, we have a big gun violence problem. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids are shooting each other, like 13, 14, 15-year-old kids. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with mental health. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with education. There's maybe sometimes not programs available. Maybe the kids don't have anybody to talk to. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, you know, and these things are unavailable. And sometimes people find themselves caught in situations where they feel like there's no possible way out, but there is. There's always a positive angle to everything. So being able to be aware of those things as an influential, like, public figure says a lot about who you could be, because there's a lot of people that do have influence, but they're worried about only worried about themselves, which is fine, you know, because not everybody's going to try to save the world. But it's good for there to be a balance and for people to, because, for example, I do a lot of work as well, like, you know, philanthropic work, and, you know, I donate to certain causes, and a lot of the times I'm hesitant to document it, but a lot of the times I want to, because not only at that point I'm not necessarily feeling like I need to show what I'm doing, but maybe I'm encouraging somebody that has the same power that I do or the same influence that I do to do something similar, and them just seeing that might change another 20, 30, 40, 100 people's lives. And it's kind of happened with what I've been doing. You know, all of the projects that I'm involved in have to do with charities or giving back somehow. My clothing company, Palmera Mia, which is forever immortalized now in the in the cargo pants of my dude, we give 10% of our profits back towards water conservation initiatives. You know, our films have the same thing, gun violence awareness and mental health and stuff like that. So, you know, at first, I don't know how it was for you, and, you know, a lot of listeners might be able to, you know, relate to this, but when I first started this, I only cared about money and watches and cars and, you know, like the expensive stuff. And then you kind of start realizing that you're kind of, that shit doesn't really matter. You know, it's nice to have nice things and, you know, give yourself certain luxuries and, you know, for whatever reason you may want them, but it's more than just that. And through my entrepreneurial journey, I've learned to be less material based and more like in the moment, what kind of positive thing am I doing? And a lot of people are caught in the phase of flaunting for others that don't even know them. Like they're trying to impress people that don't give a shit about them. And then they're in this whole little like movie, and then at the end of the day, like, what is your life? You know, but I guess a lot of us, if not all of us, have been there. I've been there, I've been material before, and that's all I really cared about. But now I'm really just like, I'm trying to align myself with people who think the way I do. That's why I thought it was so great to have you as a guest on the podcast, because, you know, I met you that day at the party. I did a little bit of research about what you were doing. I loved what you were doing with Dube. I saw what you were doing with the foundation. I was like, man, this guy has a lot of things in common with me. And, you know, I just want to align myself with people who have that kind of mindset, because that's the only way to level up.
That's definitely true. I mean, I was the same way at first. When I first got into the league, it was all about, oh man, what type of clothes, shoes, what can I do to kind of keep up with the other guys? It just happens. It's natural. You see other people and you kind of
get like trapped. Shitting on his shoes.
You just kind of get trapped in comparison, you know. But then at the end of the day, you sit back and look. It's like, what have I gained from buying this or buying that? You know, buying this car, buying the shoes when I could have bought this house, or I could have bought this piece of land or this business. You know, it all comes with age and time.
Like Nipsey Hussle telling everybody to purchase property and stop buying. Meek Mill was like, hey, stop. Man. Just the challenge of the year is start buying properties and real estate and stop buying chains and shit.
No, when I heard Nipsey's album last year, I was like, man, this guy is smart. Even Rick Ross. Rick Ross does the same thing, and a lot of people don't
even realize. Rick Ross is a G. He's a very successful businessman.
He's a genius, man. Yeah. Honestly, he's got what? Wingstop. He's got Checkers. He's got his own
beard products. Like,
beard thing. Yeah, he's got a bunch of different stuff kind of going on. He's a smart man, a smart rapper, because rapping, I think, is the same as
any athlete. It'll open doors for future. It's like athletes and rappers are very similar in that aspect. You build a name for yourself, you build a huge platform, and then the truly smart ones,
you
pick them up once you see what empire they build, because you have money, you have an audience, and you have a voice. If you can't come up with something out of that,
but it's such a small window for athletes and rappers. Like, if you don't capitalize on it, whatever you do, if you can't capitalize on it, you're just going to wash away. Somebody else is going to come in and basically do what you thought you should have done before.
And company is everything. Because people, like, sometimes you want to hang out with people that like to have fun and do stupid, crazy shit and you be in the moment. But the people you surround yourself on a daily basis are very important.
Yeah.
They, like, these are the people that are going to grow with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hanging around with a bunch of people with no ambition all day, you're going to have no ambition.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're hanging out with a bunch of people that make you insecure and make you feel like an ant and like you're not smart enough, that's, I believe that's good.
Because mm-hmm.
there's people out there that are scared shitless. Oh, I can't do that. That's too much for me. These guys are too crazy. Good.
Yeah.
Keep going, because they're the crazy ones that are going to get you to that next level.
True.
Somebody that's sitting at home doing shit is not going to get you there.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I'm in situations where I'm like, what the fuck? This is crazy. I can't believe I'm here right now. Yeah. Like, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, but you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to surround myself with people that are going to help me, push me, and get me there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's fun. This whole, like, the social media thing is important as long as you use it correctly.
Yeah.
Everybody portrays a perfect lifestyle, but it's really not. I use social media as a direct tool to be able to connect with other entrepreneurs that could help me build my network, and we could all help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never know. Like, for example, I have a foundation, you have a foundation. You never know that one day we're like, you know, we want to change, you know, the life of 2,000 people somewhere in South America. Maybe some way we could come together and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all started from a party in Miami and then an Instagram connection. Mm-hmm. And then we made a dude. Then we did a podcast, and then the relationships keep building.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I want my audience to understand it also is that, you know, people want things right now, and maybe they're not meant to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we wouldn't have done this right now. Maybe it would have taken us a year to be cool enough to jump on a podcast or try to do some type of business together. But as long as you have good intentions and you see the bigger picture, patience is key, man.
Oh,
like, how was it changing for you from athlete to businessman, knowing that your only job in the world was to be a good athlete, and now it's your only job in the world is to be a businessman?
Yeah.
And how was that for you? How was that transition?
It was tough, man, at first, because you get so used to a routine. Like, for me, it was waking up at 6:15 and then, you know, getting myself ready and then driving to the facility, going to the hot tub, steam room, watch a little bit of film.
First world problems.
Yeah, but then, you know, that routine changed, so my thought process had to change too, because of everything that I had learned and done really playing football for the past 15 years had changed. So now I had to change everything I was doing. You know, obviously you still have certain components of working hard, being persistent, and patience is one of the key things. But for me, it was rough, and it was hard, because that's only one thing I've known for so long. So then for me, I really had to just sit down and decide, okay, what is it that you want to accomplish in the next, I started small, in this next week.
Mm-hmm.
And after I did it in the week, okay, what do you want to accomplish this month? And after that month, okay, what do you want to accomplish in these next 2 months? I just started doing it little by little to kind of just change my mindset, because at first it just seems like it's so big. It looks like the Titanic when you just want to think about, man, how is my life going to look? How am I going to be
able to change it? And organizing yourself and pacing yourself. And do you use any digital programs to, like, for example, I use like Trello, Asana
mm-hmm.
for task management, to hold info, Google calendars. Do you use anything that you would recommend to somebody who's a businessman, or, you know, at whatever scale, but to organize themselves? Because everything is about routine and business,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you're obviously going to need tools. For me, mm-hmm. Asana is a big tool, because I have employees and I'm able to, you know, delegate tasks, and I'm able to keep track of those tasks as they're being delegated.
Mm-hmm.
Dropbox for content. Do you have any specific tools that you use, or?
Well, the one thing I use still constantly is a journal. It's one thing that I've just been using ever since. When I was watching film, I would write little notes to myself that I would be able to remember later on at night after practice or whatever it is when I'm watching film. I could just see it and memorize it. So when Sunday came around, I would memorize everything that I had done already. So it wasn't a shock to me when I'm on the field. The same thing I do now. If I have some type of idea or some type of meeting coming up, or, you know, something that sounds like a good idea, I just jot it down, because most of the time we forget things. We have so much going on in our minds and day-to-day stuff. We think, okay, I got to do this. At the end of the day, you try and sit down, you try and think of everything that you try to do today and thought about today. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to write down as much as possible. So when I look at it at the end of the night, I can say, okay, I needed to do this, I did this. I need to do this. Oh, this is a good idea. Let me expound on that. So then you start writing some more. It just helps you be able to memorize things, and things that you don't even want to remember, you can put down in there so you can look back, look at your notes, because you're not going to remember everything.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing I like to do, and it's helped me out so much, because my mind doesn't feel as cluttered anymore.
Now, look, there's so many people, like, right now out there listening to this or listening to podcasts similar to this, who feel like, man, these guys on this podcast are nuts. Like, the things that they're doing, I would never be able to do that. But wouldn't you say that, you know, the biggest battle is just fighting your insecurity? Because mm-hmm. once you get past that, you could do whatever the hell you want.
Oh, of course. Of
right?
course.
So, like, I'm sure you have insecurities. I have insecurities. I'm sure you've fucked up and failed on certain shit.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't talk about those things, you know? Mm-hmm. So all you see is everybody's highlight reel, their perfect highlight reel, you know?
Yeah.
And some people that want to build a business, they're like, my life is never going to be as perfect as that, guys. Mm-hmm. Our life isn't perfect. This shit is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm sure sometimes you're like, man, we need more sales in this business. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe we didn't get enough clients coming in. Or maybe, you know, we didn't get enough volunteers or things for the foundation that we needed. And things, and then personal life. And then things are, like, things aren't perfect, mm-hmm. you know? And one thing I want people to understand is, like, the kind of people that I speak to and I bring on this podcast, they're real people.
Yeah.
Like, we're human beings. Yeah. We're not just trying to put up with, like, a perfect picture and, you know, like, everything is perfect. We're human beings too, and mm-hmm. we're learning, we're developing ourselves. Like, look, you don't have to be on this podcast, but somehow you might learn something from it or get something from it and vice versa, and you're always trying to work on yourself and reinvent yourself. What would you say to an 18-year-old you mm-hmm. who's probably maybe or maybe not frustrated because he is not exactly where he needs to be or where he feels he needs to be? What would you be your advice to you at 18 years old, now where you are today?
I would say, don't be afraid to fail. Like, failure is always a learning experience. You know, when people fail, they just think, oh, my life is over, everything is over. Whatever I've been working up towards is completely over because I failed. But failure teaches you to grow. If nobody failed in this world, nobody would ever grow. Nobody would ever have a learning experience to be able to develop to the person they are today. And I think for me, the stuff that I'm learning now, I've also gone through in football. And I know all the time there's always things that you try and do as far as technique or, you know, different things that you see on film. You try it and it doesn't work out. Doesn't necessarily mean your world is over. It's like, okay, this didn't work. I know what not to do next time. And this is what I need to do.
If it's not a blessing, it's a lesson. That's what my football coach used to tell me in high school.
I mean, it's always a blessing in football, man. Football teaches you so many different things. And football's taught me a lot of different aspects of my life that I've been able to apply to it. But, you know, I would just say, don't ever be scared to fail, because the thing about failure and fear is that you always are going to learn something, and something's always going to be on the opposite end of fear. You know, you could always say, oh man, I don't want to start this business because what if it doesn't work out? That's the first thing always think about. It's like, okay, if I open this business, man, what if it doesn't do well? What if it doesn't do this?
Or what if it does?
Exactly. People don't think like that.
Yeah.
So when I open this, I'm not thinking about the possibility of, oh, what if it doesn't do well? I'm thinking the possibilities, like, when I put this out there and everybody begins to see it, this is how it's going to be. I have a vision of what I want things to be and how I want them to be. And that's another thing, too. You have to make sure that your vision is clear. You don't want to just go into something with no plan. So when you go into something, just know, okay, you're going to have obstacles in the way, but they're going to help you grow. And then have your vision for what you want to have. And when you have that vision, have some conviction.
Smooth seas never made a skilled sailor.
Oh, never. Never has.
I wouldn't want a smooth ride either, because when the tough times come, the people that have been through the shit and the mud, those are the ones that know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You went through fucking hell and back. Life fucked you in every single way that it could have fucked you. You know a way out.
Of course.
By then, you know a way out, and it doesn't affect you mentally anymore. You already know that it's part of it, and it's not even personal anymore.
Yes.
People always think about... When they think of failure, they think about the things that come after failure. You know, I know in football there were so many guys that played corner, they were so scared to cover this guy or jump this route because they were always scared about giving up the big play and then being on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And then when they're on SportsCenter, people tell them how bad they are. For me, I was like, look, people are going to tell me I'm bad regardless, because not everybody's going to like you. So I'm just going to go out there, and if I mess up, I mess up. But I learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to learn from a mistake if you don't make one.
Exactly. Anyways, Nolan, bro, it's a pleasure to have you on this podcast.
Definitely, man.
Just letting you know, we are dropping season one with some very exciting guests from around the United States and around the world. And it's really cool for you to be able to be part of this first series of podcasts, because this is something that's very special to me, and it shows that all the hard work that I've been, you know, putting in for the last few years is finally getting recognized, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are going to be able to hear it. So, dude, I really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate you introducing me to Dube. Why don't you go ahead and let everybody know how they could find you on social media or find you for your businesses, you know, how they could, you know, get in touch.
All right, yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's definitely, you know, you didn't have to come here and do this. You know, you didn't have to stop me at the party. You didn't have to stop me again at our best, you know, but you did for a reason. And, you know, the reason was because you generally care about other people. You know, I can tell from that. So I really appreciate that, man. But, you know, you can find me on Instagram, Carroll City. You can also look at Dube 3D Miami or Dube _ Miami, and that'll pop up, or the Do, the regular Do website too. You can also look at the NolanCarrollFoundation.com and go on there and donate if you would like to. But you know, if you don't want to, just go on there and just see.
Maybe
see
even what be we're a about. Volunteer
if they would like to. You know, it's when you're doing things for other people, you don't necessarily have to donate. But you know, if you want to find some way to maybe spend your time doing something else to change somebody else's life, and that's always a big positive.
All right, guys, that's Carroll City on Instagram, Carroll City.
Alrighty, guys, that concludes this week's episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast with Alex Quinn. Remember to tune in every Monday for new episodes and stay connected with us on Instagram and YouTube for updates and exclusive content, including a video segment of this week's podcast. You can find us on at Mr. Alex Quinn with one N and at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Remember to surround yourself with people who uplift you, because hustle inspires hustle.